old and he asked Rav Ashwais
whether you're allowed to play ball on Shabbos. So as a 5-year-old, Rav Ashwais told him, I let my grandchildren play ball in the basement and, when they come to my house on Shabbos. He said, I think once you get a little bit older and you realize that that's not the way Shabbos is supposed to be spent, when you're mature enough to understand that, so then you should play ball on Shabbos. So Daniel, ever the 5-year-old Frumi, this went in other directions later, but as a 5-year-old, he said, what if you're 5 years old and you already realize that that's not how Shabbos should be spent? He said, okay, because then you want to learn all day, But what about the actual mutzah issues, the ball mutzah? So, Shulchan Aruch in Sif Mem Beis Mem Gimel, Shulchan Aruch tells us what we already learned in the Ramban Sif Gimel, so we're going to skip that as well. I'm going to skip Mem Dalet also. Let's go straight to Mem Hei. So Sif Mem Hei, also Lischot B'Shabbos V'Yom Tov B'Kadur. You're not allowed to use a ball on Shabbos. You're not allowed to play ball on Shabbos. V'Yesh Matirin V'Nagul Hakel. Says Ramban, Yesh Matirin Nagul Hakel. So some context over here is kind of important. What are they talking about? Did they play basketball in the times of the Mechaber? Right? If they did, how did Rav Chaim Knievsky not know that you can't just put the ball in the basket before Shabbos, right? Meaning if this was Lacha Pesukah and Shulchan Aruch, how is he unfamiliar with that? You want to tell me he was an NBA fan or a Max fan? That's one thing, but tell me he didn't know what it says in Shulchan Aruch, so a little bit of context is necessary over here. There's Yerushalmi in the fourth part of Sefer Tainus, and the Agur that Beis Yosef quotes say as follows. Beis Yosef writes, Kasaba Agur B'Shem Shiba Le'elaket, Sim Kuf Chav Alif, Sha'asu Lischot B'Shabbos Yom Tov B'Kadurim, She'enum Ru'im Matzah O'Pizlochis, D'Mimasi, She'metan Fi'ali De Titva Afar, that you're not allowed to play ball on Shabbos with a ball that doesn't have another function, that you're not able to use as a bottle cap of some sort, because it gets very dirty from the mud. You're not allowed to play ball on Shabbos, because the ball gets filthy with dirt and mud that's on the ground when you try to kick the ball around, and it can't be used for anything else. So the Mishnah Brura, in Sipkat and Kufn and Zayin, explains that a ball is muksa, just like rocks and stones. There's no purpose, so it's kates and varvanim, and the fact that you want to play with it, that's not enough reason to turn it into a kli. So you want to play with a rock, that doesn't make it a kli either, that it has no inherent value, right? If you look in Kufn and Zayin, Mishbura writes, Beinim he shall yaro shall eight shein shame kli olav mach mashroi lischok bo. Doesn't take on a shame kli just because you want to play with it. The Rama argues on the Shulchan Aruch, and that's based on the Tosos and the Seches Beitza on Daf Yud Beis. Tosos allows using a ball on Shabbos, and the Mishmur explains what the Rama's kula is based on. V'yesh matirin efshar shetaimam. He suggests perhaps the reason is we're just talking about efshar shetaimam shekim and shasu nikach. What do you mean? It's a ball that people play with. People use it all the time. It's not just something that's etzim vavanim. It's something that has a regular daily use. Then he says, well, of course you have to be careful about Hotzah. This conversation is limited to a conversation of Mutzah. So in Sifcha Beis, we said you could use a rock on Shabbos if you set it aside for a specific purpose. So why would this be any different? I mean, if you're allowed to set aside a rock for a specific purpose, and a ball is set aside for a purpose of playing with it, so the Rama says, Yesh Matirin, it makes a lot of sense. But that doesn't work if you don't have an Erev. And even when there is an Erev, he goes on to say, you can't play on a dirt floor, right? On the bottom line, he says, V'kolze k'shasochik shalo al gabe karka. Aval al gabe karka l'kuli alma asu mishum chashash ashvuyi gumo. So you might come to straighten out the ground, which is this is Daraisa of Choresh, according to Rashi in Shabbos Nafpei Aleph. However, he says, if women and children are playing on the dirt floor, they're not going to listen to you anyway, because it's so better mutav shishogin va'al yuhu mezidin. Most of us can say mutav shishogin va'al yuhu mezidin doesn't apply to Din Daraisa, certainly not that which is mefurish b'kra, it only applies to things that are less obvious. So the fact that playing ball on Shabbos could lead to chorish midaraisa still keeps it comfortably in the category of mutuv shiyushogin vali mazidin. The assumption is that something that's mefurish b'kra, you're not going to say mutuv shiyushogin vali mazidin because you assume that they already are mazid. It says in the pasuk, lo tirtzach. So if a person is murdering, you don't assume, oh, they probably don't realize that it's aser. Everyone knows that it's aser. Everyone knows chumash. Everyone knows what it says in the chumash. But if it's something that's not so obvious, it doesn't say in the chumash you're not allowed to play ball on a dirt floor on Shabbos. So it doesn't, something that's not so obvious, it's not about it being a din d'oraisa for a din d'rabban, it's about it being mefurish b'kra. So something that's not so obvious, we would apply the principle of mutav mutav sheyuhu shogigin. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Now, based on this Ramah, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchus of Paskins, mischake kadur al gavi shulchan, oba avir, kigon, tennis shulchan, and he puts in parentheses, ping pong. Ein lesser, bein betoch habayis, bein michutz labayis, mokum sheish erev and sarach. You can have an indoor ping pong table, you can have an outdoor ping pong table, it's not going to be asur. In the 3-year smicha cycle that of Halacha Shirim, I teach Nida, and then Yeridea last year, and then this year Shabbos. 2 out of the 3, I got ping pong into the curriculum. In Nida, we got ping pong into the curriculum, but I don't think we have a Yeridea ping pong. So we got to figure out, if there's busser in your racket and chalav on the ball. I don't know. We have to figure out how to get it in. So if there is, that was one of my favorite shuvahs of all time, is the Debre Tzinah Rav's description of ping pong. There's a whole paragraph describing the rules of the game, which is kind of funny, because like if you didn't know the rules of the game, you have no idea what he's talking about, and if you know the rules of the game, it's you don't really need him to. What do you call it? It's like you really, you're like, why are people using sticks to hit spheres at each other? you wouldn't really understand. What does that have to do with the table? But anyway, so the so he says there's no iser inside the house or outside the house as long as there's an eruv. Mischeke kadur al adama or dashik kadur regel to play soccer asurim vafilo nishtach murutzav kagon al migrash murutzav asphalt. Even if you're on a driveway or something like that, you should not play it. So you can play ping pong on Shabbos because the ball isn't muktzah, but playing with a ball on a ground outside of the house is asur, even if the ground is paved. That's based on simin shin lamed ches sif hey. The Mishnah Berurah of their Sifkat Mechav says that Chazal asked playing with different types of, they used to roll nuts on the ground as some sort of game that they would play, and you know how to do that because you might come to even out the dirt, and they included in that gazera even paved ground outdoors, outdoor paved ground, because it's a gazera that you're going to come Lashmi Yikumos, and it's part of a low plug. But if most of the grounds in the city are paved, then you can play on the paved ground as well. That you got to look at the Biralacha in Simin Shin Lamed Zayin Dibra Maschul Viyesh. So playing soccer, for example, in the house on a paved floor or in a gym technically would be mutter, because most houses and most gyms have a paved even floor. So that would technically be mutter. But playing soccer outside, even on a paved floor, even on asphalt, even on a basketball court or something like that, would be usher, because most of the outdoor area is grass or is dirt. So, again, children, you would say mutav shiyushogin, but for adults, it certainly should not be allowed. So that's what Mishnah Berurah paskens b'favor. So sometimes, I remember when they built the Eruv in North Woodmere, so the big feature that North Woodmere had, before it had all these shuls and all these frum Jews living there, everyone knew North Woodmere because North Woodmere is North Woodmere Park. That's what it was always known for. I'd like to think that now all the shuls and the Makom Torah and everything else has now taken us beyond North Woodmere Park. But, as far as what we're known for. But it hasn't. But, I'd like to believe it has. So when they were making the Eruv, so keeping the park and the Eruv was a very important thing. People, young children, they want to, to go to the playground. But they dafka built the Eruv in such a way that the baseball fields would be outside of the Eruv. Because a lot of people in their minds wouldn't, believe that they're allowed to play baseball on Shabbos. Elamai, it's a matter of... it's a matter of carrying outside the Eruv. So they wouldn't carry outside the Eruv, but they would play baseball on Shabbos. So it was a big debate among the Rabbanim. Some of the Rabbanim said, no, you're going to be machshul people, because a lot of the people that would play baseball on Shabbos also don't mind carrying on Shabbos outside the Eruv, and they're going to carry outside the Eruv also. Other Rabbanim said that, no, this way we'll be able to advertise that the Erev only goes to this point, and then maybe people won't play ball on Shabbos. What does it say if it's the very edge of the Erev and we dafka expand the Erev to include a baseball field? That's like we're inviting everybody to play ball on Shabbos. But strictly speaking, Mekra Din, certainly for adults, it's usher to play ball on a dirt field on Shabbos, Mishnah Berurah says. And even for children, it's really technically usher, it's just mutzav shiyu shog again. Va'alihu mezidin. So Shom Zalman is quoted in the footnote of the Shmir Shabbos and says, Va'alzeh kosva hagon rav avigdor nevensal shlita, the Shmir Shabbos writes from Rav Nevensal, Sheshama me'agon rav Shom Zalman orbach satzal, the Rav Nevensal heard from Shom Zalman that Shahoil u miutsorim kikelim maisa uman gam lesvardim eno mokza, וכן הביא בספר שבוס יצחק בשם אדון רב יוסף שלמה יושב, שבזמננו הול מיוצר בייצור מיוחד ונפח לתעשייה בפני עצמה, וכן יש להם שם כלי ואינו נחשב למוקצה. That when the Shulchan was talking about a ball, he was talking about a kador, he was talking about something that happened to be roughly in a spherical shape. It was not something that was, you know, there was no Wilson or... whatever other companies make Spalding, Rawlings, right? They weren't making. Thank you. They weren't manufacturing balls for this purpose. So that's what Shulchan Aruch was saying, that that's going to be a problem of Muktzah. But even the Mechaber would agree that nowadays, when a ball is manufactured, that it's not Muktzah because they're made in factories that are certainly considered a kli. However, very often when you want to know Sephardic Psak, you're best off asking a Sephardic rabbi, right? So Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef in Yalkut Yosef paskins like the Shulchan Aruch straight, that a ball is mukzah on Shabbos, and in a very long footnote he explains that he's aware that there is such a thing called Spalding and Rawlings and all those and all those companies, that he knows that it exists and that they manufacture these balls to play with, still not considered a kli, he says. Behein emes, sheyesh makom lomar. He says, I understand the taina that there's room to say shemeachor beisach roshes miatzim etchilas hakador l'shem mischak, that there are factories that are making it to be played with l'chora v'kemaisa gadol sheyichoshim kekli. Maybe that's a maisa that makes it a kli v'lo dami le'avnoeit shechilim l'mischak ali deyichul maisa koldu. And it's not like you just take the roundest rock you're able to find in your backyard and you say, oh, that would be good for a stickball. No, it's totally different. He says, "Afal Bikain, I don't think you can be mekhl." It doesn't a little short on svara. He just says because it's beferish in the mechaber that kador is muktzah, so we're not going to be mekhl. And then he says, "Unless you say, who are you, Rav Yitzchak Yosef? V'itzati advarim defnei marana adoni avi mari v'rabi shlita v'hiskim imanu ledina lesa gam kador miyuchad mischak." The Rav Vadya agreed. He said, I showed what I wrote to my father, and he was maskim. And he quotes Yerushalmi that relates a story about a city called Tor Shimon that was destroyed because everyone was playing ball on Shabbos and the whole city was destroyed. Every once in a while you have mar makomos like that, where some tragedy happens and the gedolei aposkim, either from Chazal or even after Chazal, sometimes Rishonim, sometimes Achronim, point to a particular Avera and they say, oh, this suffering happened because of this Avera. Just last night in Smichas Chavashir we were talking about living above a Beis HaKnesses. So a big machlokes Rishonim, but there's an issur to live above a Beis HaKnesses. It's a major problem for every shtibel in the planet, right? That always in the base, or any shul in Manhattan, let's say. There's a big building, 25 stories high. They can't put the Beis HaKnesses on the top floor because then everyone's got to walk 25. So they put the Beis HaKnesses on the bottom floor. They rent out that space, or they use that, they buy that space for the Beis HaKnesses, then they build over it. So it's a major issue. So the Taz writes, Taz is very machmir in this issue, and that's why Ashkenazi poskim tend to be a little more machmir than Sephardi poskim. The Sephardi poskim don't take this particular Taz very seriously. But the Ashkenazi poskim are pretty machmir, because the Taz writes that it's a real problem, and he says that when I was young, my family lived above a Beis HaKnesses, and all my kids died, and I assume it's because of that. Taz, and Sarah Shulchan Aruch, Mamash says like that, which is, I thought that was, it's somewhat inspiring in the sense that he obviously did a cheshbon ha-nefesh, and he was trying to figure out, like, you know, what he had done wrong, and all he can come up with was that, you know, he lived above the Beis HaKnesses, which means it's probably probably living pretty right otherwise, you know, that's the best thing to come up with. The Rambam is a tshuva. It's interesting because in the Mechaber over there, it's a little off topic, but the Mechaber over there doesn't take some Kufnan Aleph, bases his psak that it's Aser on Mordechai, the name of Maram Rutenberg. And the Rambam doesn't talk about it in the Mishnah Torah, but the Rambam is a tshuva in Pe'er Ador, where he says that it's mutter to live above a shul. So, but the Pe'er Ador of the Rambam was not accessible to Rav Yosef Kairo. So when Rav Yosef Kairo wrote the Shulchan Aruch, he didn't have the tshuvas of the Rambam and the tshuvas Pe'er Ador. So the Achronim discuss, so how do you know, what do you do with that? If you know the Mechaber always passes like the Rambam, but he didn't have this Rambam, so he paskened otherwise. So how would you interpret that? So there are two mahalachim. One mahalach is, you know, the way many paskim, let's say, don't take the Me'iri into account very much. That the hand of Hashkacha hid the Me'iri, this was the Chazon Ish's mahalach, that the hand of Hashkacha hid the Me'iri for all those years, and therefore it's not meant to be taken lahalach l'maisa. So halacha could develop without the Me'iri, and once the halacha developed to a certain point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reintroduced us to the Me'iri. So you could say the same thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid the Rambam from the Mechaber so that he could paskin what he's going to paskin, and then he revealed the Rambam later on. The other way to take it is, no, we know the system. We know the Mechaber system. He's going to paskin like the Rambam whenever he can. And if he was unaware that there was a Rambam, and the Rambam Rutenberg was Masubuk, went back and forth on something, so you know what he's going to paskin. Of course he's going to paskin like the Rambam. So Rav Vadia, in a couple of places, is very clear that he holds the second way. That he holds that if the Mechaber didn't know a Rambam, and we know a Rambam, you're passing like that Rambam. Most notably, the place where I first saw this from Rav Vadia is in the Tshuvas Pe'er Ador. They put out an edition of Pe'er Ador, Machon Yerushalayim put out an edition, and the one who, Machon Yerushalayim is a publisher, the one who wrote it and who prepared it and wrote the footnotes and worked on it was Rav David Yosef, Rav Vadia's son. So he got a haskama naturally from his father to his edition of the Pe'er Ador. And in the haskama, Rav Vadia says you have to realize how chashuv this sefer is, because this sefer is the Rambam's tshuvas that the Beis Yosef Maran Beit Yosef didn't have access to. Which means that if there's anything in here that goes against Maran Beit Yosef, we paskin like this, and not like Maran Beit Yosef, because we know that he wouldn't paskin like that. And you have to trust Maran Beit Yosef and not his book. Meaning the Shulchan Aruch is only valuable in that it is an expression of what Maran Beit Yosef said. But if you know what Maran Beit Yosef would really think about something, then you have to paskin like that. So that's was Rav Vadia's mahalik. Why do I mention that over here? Not sure, but Rav Yitzchak Yosef over here says that Rav Vadia was machmir on this issue. However, it does seem to be some steer in terms of what Rav Vadia really held. According to this, Rav Vadia would hold that, like, let's say, just having a catch with your kid on Shabbos is going to be usher, even indoors, forgetting all the other stuff, just playing with a ball. However, in Chazon Ovadia, in Chel Gimel, Hilchus Muktzah Machmas Gufo, he's Rav Vadia's makel to use a ball on Shabbos. So, Tzarech Iyun, whether you should believe, do you believe Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef saying that my father agreed with me, or do you believe Chazon Ovadia, which is Rabbi Ovadia, I think, right? So what do you do with that? I don't know. It could be that Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef came very excited to Rabbi Ovadia and said, "This is my psak." And Rabbi Ovadia said, "Very good." So, it's like Rosh Hashanah also. Probably a lot of people think that he agrees with that. I don't know. Although Rabbi Ovadia was not shy about telling people when he disagreed with them. For Ashkenazim, balls are definitely not mixed on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to play outside. Certainly not outside of an area, but even outside on the ground. But according to Rav Vadia, Yalkut Yosef, balls, according to Rav Vadia, the way Yalkut Yosef quotes it, and the current chief rabbi, Yitzchak Yosef, for Sfarim balls are muktzah, even if they're manufactured by a company. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that no, even Sfarim would agree that they are not muktzah. So again, the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is Machlokas Mechaber Ramah. Rav Shlomo Zalman says no, even the Mechaber would agree nowadays. Rav Yitzchak Yosef says no, he doesn't. Okay, what about other recreational activities? Once we're on the topic of balls, yeah.
Would it make a difference if the ball is rolling to you and kick it back? Like sometimes the ball rolls down the hill, so if you're kicking it back, you're doing a big
Interesting. Yeah, meaning if that's the derech to be metaltal, right? So does that count as tiltal begufo? Good, right? That would be subject to that machlokas. Very good. Yeah.
Seems like
not
really a difference, but. Doesn't
matter
if the ball
is
like being played with on the round
from
a
shot
like
Google,
or I guess like a cat, which is not on the ground, really?
Meaning if it's, I don't know, I would guess that if it's normal within the context of that activity to have a ball roll on the ground, then it would be usher. Remember, my kids used to have catches in the street in front of my house. And someone came over to me in shul and said, "I saw your kids playing fetch before. You weren't also good at catching." So Yonah was good at catching. Not embarrassing Yonah, but the others were not. So they would always have to fetch the ball.
Yeah. Is there any difference about creating gumos if it's a turf field?
So again, we pass it, meaning it may, whether it's different or not, even a paved ground outdoors is problematic.
So it's same.
Yeah, so turf would be just as bad. Now, once we're on the topic, let's talk about some other recreational activities, particularly some Sephardi Ashkenazi ones that maybe there's a breakdown. Riding a bicycle. If anyone here ever been to Deal, New Jersey for a Shabbos? From what I understand, I have never been, but from what I understand, there are very religious, smarty people that ride bicycles on Shabbos. No one here has ever been to Deal, New Jersey for a year. Is that true?
Yeah, yes. A lot of bikes.
A lot of bikes. Okay. So,
I don't know the very religious part, though.
What? So, Ben Ham was measuring everyone's statistics.
It's also very common.
It's common at Israel, yeah, that people ride bikes.
Yeah,
and so let's talk a little bit about where this idea could have come from. So wouldn't the Shulchan Aruch and Rav Avadia agree that a bicycle is certainly not like a ball, right? Meaning a ball is, what's the problem that a ball is mutzah? Because it's not a kli b'chol. A bicycle is a very sophisticated kli, right? So you would imagine that it's certainly not going to be mutzah from that perspective, right? It's not the same at all, even though they, you know, there may be an air pump that helps for both types of items. But one is a ball and the other is a bicycle. So the whole svara to say, you know, to go so far as to say, like Rav Yitzchak Yosef wanted to say, that even a manufactured ball is not a kli. Okay, maybe, because all it is just a round thing. But a bicycle obviously is going to be a kli. And a scooter, l'chora, also is going to be a kli. So what's the issue then? So the Ben Ish Chai in Chuvas Rav Pa'alim, Chelik Al Simchat Hei, Ben Ish Chai writes, Nishalti Me'ez HaYakara Maskil, say from someone, I don't know what it is, Meir Tzalach, Be'ir Bombay, Nimtza Koron Shekoron Gary, Shekavua Bo Shnei Galgalim, Ve'ina Moshchino So Behemos Flo B'nei Adam. He describes a bicycle and he says, there's this amazing thing. It has two wheels, animals don't pull it, and people don't pull it either. Elohuma halich me'elav al yidei adam hayoshev bo shedochas agalgal baraglav. There's a guy that sits on it and he pushes the wheels with his feet and he makes it go. So you want to know, are you allowed to ride such a thing on Shabbos or not? Yorenu hamora. So hine, kichein nira diyesh lahatir lirkov begari zeh, hanisko b'sheila, shaholich alidei adamasmo yoshev bo, bein b'shabes, bein b'yom tov, betoch yir sheyesh be'erev. As long as there's an erev, he says, mutir. Delek b'zeh zilzul mishum uvdin dechol, kivin shu betoch yir sheyesh be'erev, dechol yir, nechashav skrushul siyachid, diyesh luch smoch al matim b'zeh b'ferev. He says, I don't see it as uvdin dechol. What's wrong? You're just moving around within a city that has an erev, and it's all considered rushul siyachid. Va'od ika sniff time of benidon didan, delo mechzikov din duchal mishum shebezeh hagari aniska b'sheila al rov eno asimliko bo el rak adam echol de vadao vilchein eno nira kaholich l'makom rachok. That since only one person can ride a bicycle at a time, it doesn't seem like a transport vehicle where you would take a long journey, because people don't take long journeys by themselves. So since it doesn't seem that it would be a social activity when you would ride one of these things, because you're all alone, so it's obviously just the easiest way. It's like a smart car. You wouldn't use it on an intercity highway, but it's just an easy way to get from one place to the other within the city, if you're delivering pizzas or something. People who are an adam yichidi, people alone, don't travel to great distances. So that's what he says. In a city within an eruv, no issur of carrying or to riding a bicycle. So it's out of the dechal, and it doesn't look like something you would use to travel long distances. Now, in the tshuvas simchas kohen, chelak al forachim simin ayin ches, Rav Rachamim Chai Chaviata HaKohen, who was a Sephardic rabbi, I guess, in the early part of the 20th century. He was born in 1901, died in 1959, so a Sephardic rabbi in the first part of the 20th century. Binogea leheter b'halichas ofnayim b'shabes sheksavti b'sufri shenidmeli sheshamati mipi magide emes sha'arav rav palim chazarbo. He said, I heard from a lot of reliable sources that the Rav Ba'alim changed his mind. Rak ani zocher shechem ne'arabam shel bavo masul izos v'nishkach mizachroni mihuzeh. You're going to ask me, what's my source of information? I don't remember. But I remember that it was a very reliable source of information. It was Magid HaYemes. I just don't remember who. V'li barur, that he says, and it's clear to me, that lu yada me'atakala sheyotzeis mizeh hayachozerbo. He says, whether he was Chazerbo, whether Rav Ba'alim was Chazerbo or not, if he would have realized what was going to be, that, you know, people, I've never been to deal, but people riding up and down the boardwalk, is there a boardwalk? It's a beach town, right? So people riding up and down the boardwalk, all the Shabbos in their bathing suits or whatever, that was going to be, I'm not saying that's what goes on, I'm just saying, like, if he would realize what's going on, that this is where it's going to be taken, he for sure would have been Chazerbo. Ubevadai sheke'es ba'olam ha'elin ischarit al dvarav. He says, now for sure in the Olam HaElyon, for sure he changed his mind. He kabalti yedios mimkamush shesamchul hatil pipsak shelo behodu beIndia right in India umkamush acherim shabavanasenu rabim yotzbe misholus rabim veechad chacham eretzoshim shamhera lehem esifri. Sounds like he doesn't really believe that he was Chazerbo, but that it was a big mitzvah to let people believe that he was Chazerbo. Meaning, he says, I am sure that in the Olam HaEmes, the Rav Ba'alim is so grateful to me because of this terrible mitzvah that came out from his published tshuva, and I am saving everybody, I'm saving him from the repercussions of that terrible published tshuva, and he just didn't foresee the mitzvah that was going to be caused by this psak. So he's happy in Shemayim knowing that I have retracted his psak for him. So says this tshuva sefer. However, the Rosh Yeshiva Rabbi Tzion Chazan, Rosh Yeshiva Horat Yosef, and a student and editor of all the Ben Ishchai's writings, was asked by Rav Avadia when Rav Avadia was young whether the Ben Ishchai actually retracted his psak about bicycles. And Rav Chazan said it's not true. He never withdrew that psak, and there's no. And that's the impression you get from the tshuva also, that he didn't really withdraw the psak. He was just trying to say that he should have, and therefore I'm going to say that he did, so that we could stop people from doing this terrible aveir. Oh, so what's the problem? So, meaning it's not a muksa issue. Meaning, so what would the problem? Right, it doesn't seem.
The Ben Ishchai says, as long as there's an Eruv, it's okay. Why does there need to be an Eruv?
Oh, why does it need?
Yeah.
Oh, meaning lechora, whether when you're moving an item, when you're carrying a kli,
so you're not. Like, it's more carrying you than you're carrying.
You're not allowed to push a kli either in Rosh Hashanah, so it's the same thing. Right. Now the in Tzitz Eliezer in in Chelak Aleph Simuchaf Aleph Oschav Zayin, he paskins V'chein Me'amr M'dubra Kol Nier Pashut Sha'asul N'tzol B'Shabbos Yom Tov B'Ofnayim V'afilu B'toch HaTchum M'Gimel Tamim. He says, I'll give you three reasons that you're not allowed to ride a bicycle. Number one, he says, G'zeru Shabbi Yetzir Chutz L'Tchum. very easy to go outside the tchum. When you're walking, going outside the tchum will take a lot of time. You have to walk all the way there. When you're riding a bicycle, it's very easy to travel long distances in short amounts of time. Very likely you go outside of the tchum. Beis, mishum uvdin dechol, tiyesh b'za asei shel Torah. It's uvdin dechol. Gimel, and that's always easy. Uvdin dechol, it's always easy to say, because no one knows exactly what uvdin dechol actually means. I was just listening on the way in this morning to Rav Shechter's Hilcha Shabbos here, when he quoted those poskim about umbrellas, that umbrellas are uvdin dechol. He said, what, it's Shabbos stick to get soaking wet? Why is that, why is it uvdin dechol to have an umbrella? So he said, probably what it means is that you have to understand the history with the Reform movement and what it meant, whatever. There was some other vort that he said. Gimel, Nosef l'zei yesh bagam ha-gzeru shel shem yisakin mana she-bahar-be pa'amim mispotzeitz ha-gomi misaviv l'kalgal v'yavu l'sakin osu b'milu yavir b'gom l'chadome u-pashu zeru n'yavu l'fing yisad yibed shem yisvar. Whoa, so what's his third problem? He says that it's a gzeru shem yisakin mana, something that's likely to break is something that you're also likely to fix, and especially if it's an easy fix. If people who ride bikes seriously know how to fix the chain when it breaks, they know how to fix a tire when it breaks, right? The Tour de France guys, they bust tires all the time, and then they just pull over and they fix the tire and they keep going. They know how to fix these things very very quickly, especially now that all these from people are very into riding on these long distance bike rides, bike for chai or whatever, where they're riding up to the mountain. So people are like professional level, or certainly the way they dress, they act as if they're professional level bikers, so that know what they're doing. So if they, there's a guy in my shul who was into biking a couple of years ago, and then recently he got into Kabbalah and Chassidus. So his wife said, so he bought me one of the Sif Sechein on Pesach or something, one of these Chassidus for him. So his wife said, this is so much better, it's so much of a cheaper hobby than the bike hobby. I got this $2,000 thing sitting in my garage. This is a much better phase. So let him just do the Kabbalah thing until he wants to go to Uman or whatever. Yeah.
Is Cecilia Ezra speaking specifically about being Nosea? Or is he saying he didn't want to say Sachin?
What do you mean?
What Rebbe just read was like for the Tzitz Eliezer was to use the bike as a way of traveling, but is that the same as
just riding your bikes in the cul-de-sac? Right. So for children, maybe different. We'll see that there may be because of the way it's used. Right? The chashash of going chutz l'tchum is much less likely if you have a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old on a tricycle than if you have an adult in his spandex. Right. It's obviously very different.
How likely are bikes to break down?
Apparently pretty likely. I don't know. Any cyclists here?
I don't know. I don't read that often.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What?
It happens often.
Okay. Can I ask you?
Isn't it also possible and likely that there were different types of bicycles when the Ben Ish-Chai rode a Tshuva and when Tzitz Eliezer did? Like the original bicycle, I just looked up online. The original bicycle didn't have pedals. Like it was just, you walk with it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So like it was much less likely you're going to travel far
that
and also less likely you're going to break.
I guess you didn't have to balance too much.
I don't know. I was just looking at it.
1,000 miles. That's what it says.
What?
The spokes start breaking after 5 minutes.
The spokes, yeah, but the tire
chain
get busted.
Off.
The chain could come off. I don't know. So anyway, but there's a fundamental problem with that everyone should be asking. Wait a second. What did he just do? He said it's gzeira shavi yisakein. Who made that gzeira? Tzitz Eliezer is entitled to make gzeiras now. Chazal never made a gzeira shavi yisakein bicycle. Tzitz Eliezer made a gzeira shavi yisakein bicycle. That's a good enough gzeira. So Yakut Yosef also writes to be machmir. Not to ride bicycles at Shabbos. And the footnote, he quotes all three reasons Tzitz Eliezer has. Ravadia and Rav Waldenberg were good friends. He always quotes his good friend, Yedidenu, Rav Waldenberg, Tzitz Eliezer. And he explains that in the footnote that it's not making a new gzera, it's that the issur of riding a bicycle, because it might come to break, you might come to fix it, is included in the same gzera, fixing musical instruments. Meaning that the gzeira of not playing musical instruments because the guitar string might snap or whatever, the violin string might snap, that's not only about musical instruments, it's about using any kli that typically breaks in usage where it's easy to repair. So it's all part of the same gzeira. other Achronim say in a different nusach that when Chazal say you're not allowed to ride an animal on Shabbos because you might break off a branch to cause the animal to go, the Gezeirah included any form of serious transportation. And that would include a bicycle also, a form of, the, of transportation that makes transportation much easier. So Yalkut Yosef then quotes the Or L'Tzion. Or L'Tzion is, of course, Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul, who says that even though you can't invent our own gezeiros, riding a bike is aser because, you know, it's b'chlal dvar ma'amutar ma'achem nagu ma'amisir, yeah, tarashi la'ativan. So he says, Eina chinami, there's no gezeiro against it, but the minhag from people is that we don't do this. Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef, quotes all these reasons, but he holds the real reason is of the I mean, the real reason is that the Poskim don't like it. It's just because they don't like it. It just doesn't smell right that people should be riding bicycles on Shabbos. That's the real reason. So why is it that in the Sephardic world it took off more than in the Ashkenazi world? Because the original Chuvas, and Chuvas Rav Paul, and is a Sephardi Posek. So it was very hard to walk that back, you know, as much as, other Poskim have tried. Shmir Shabbos distinguishes between a kid's bike and an adult's bike. Shmir Shabbos is certainly a children's tricycle with non-inflatable tires, can be used by children inside the house or inside any area with an Eruv. And therefore, l'chora, rollerblades and scooters, l'chora should also be permissible for children to use within an Eruv. But if you're dealing with a more complex thing where a wheel or a chain might fall off, so then you have the concern Shemi Yitka or Shemi Yisakin, just like a bench whose leg falls off that we learned about, that Shemi Yitzka. And if the tricycle has a bell, probably better to remove that before Shabbos. And it seems that Shmir Shabbos agrees with the Chuvas Or L'Tzion, that bicycles are usher because we're knowing usher of the Dechal, that kind of thing. So with tricycles that are used by children, they were never knowing an isser. So you don't have to take upon yourself any such isser. So what about scooters? It's interesting, when I was on David Beshefkin's podcast, this is like the point that he like zeroed in on, like about halacha, development of halacha, and he said, scooters. What are you all about scooters? Like that's how halacha develops. Halacha has developed outside of the area of scooters also, but it's interesting because it's really an uvta d'chol issue, l'chora. And I think, when I moved to North Woodmere, there were only modern Orthodox Jews in North Woodmere, and we attracted a firmer modern Orthodox crowd, like a more right-wing YU type of crowd. And then ultimately, 10 years later, a much more yeshivish, flatbush, that kind of crowd moved in. So when my kids were growing up, and I'm sure Yonah could tell you, we didn't let them ride scooters outside the shop. So in the house is one thing, but outside, most moms don't let their kids ride scooters in the house, but we were a little more, we don't have such a nice house. Our house is great, but we weren't so worried about the house being, destroyed by the scooters. So if it wasn't destroyed by four boys, it wasn't going to be destroyed by a scooter. But outside the house, there was no scooters. And then all of a sudden, this whole wave of yeshivish people came in, and everyone's riding scooters all over the place. All the kids are riding scooters all over the place. So how did that happen? So I tied that this is a sociological phenomenon. Because people from Flatbush spend their summers in the bungalow colony. And the bungalow colony is almost impossible for the kids to get around without a scooter. It's very hilly and kids are far apart from each other. When you're in civilization, it's much, much easier. So all summer, they're with their scooters on Shabbos also. So maybe they brought it back with them, and that became the practice. Is it osur? It always struck me as being wrong, as being something. Now I see adults riding on scooters on Shabbos. That also strikes me as very, even more so, as like the whole kind of thing. Is it ksera that you go outside of tchol? I'm not going to make my own kseros, but it seems that it's the tchol type of thing.
Why is it not a
mashve gumas
issue with the bikes and scooters?
A mashve gumas? No, because Chazal specifically spoke about that. I don't think they... did they talk about pulling a wagon or something that you'd make a guma?
But we extended that to include an asphalt area where there's no dirt.
Yeah, it's talked about a ball, though. That's, with that activity where they were rolling nuts on the ground and the nuts were falling, they needed smooth ground to roll it on, but... bikes could go over bumps and whatever.
If you so many veer off the sidewalk onto the ground, in the yard.
Also, bikes don't, people, unless you're riding like a dirt bike, people tafka only ride on paved ground. I have less of a reason to be a ghost.
What's the definition of the ball? What a bad ghost makes it? There are tons of things that you do during the week that I also do on Shabbos.
Right. So it's very difficult what the definition of the Tuchol is. I think we saw earlier in the Ravadia thinks that the definition of Rav Shlomo Zalman, maybe both, the definition of the Tuchol is, no, Rav Shlomo Zalman, not Ravadia. The definition of the Tuchol is that which, when you do it during the week, you would normally be doing a malacha while doing that activity. So even if you manage to do it without a malacha on Shabbos, sense of the Tuchol. If that's the case, then riding a bike is not Rav. Chaznish seems to say of the Dechol is whatever the Chacham of that generation tells you is of the Dechol. Something that just seems not appropriate. Right, that's what we discussed. Rav Vadia has about a toothbrush being of the Dechol. Rav Vadia says that there's no problem with Mareach, there's no problem with Shita, and there's no problem with Rufua, and there's no problem. And he goes through all the issues one after the other. None of them are a problem except for of the Dechol. So you need to have a separate toothbrush just for Shabbos. So that's a little difficult if you go with the gather of the tichol, that it's when you do during the week, you'd be doing a malacha. You wouldn't be doing a malacha when you do during the week. Okay.
You have a Shabbos scooter?
Right, but that solves the problem of the tichol. So I think most people would assume not that way. I mean, what would it, meaning you have, it says the Kavod Shabbos Kodesh on it, it has, it's white, I don't know, you'd have to, yeah, okay, I don't know. So, Vayter and Shulchan Aruch over here. So again, that in Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about bicycles, it just seemed when we were talking about balls, it would be the appropriate time to talk about bicycles. Skipping Sif Mem Vav, Mem Zayim, Yesh Osum L'Taltal Beget Shabbos V'Yesh Matirim. Whoa! Shulchan Aruch Machlokas, Rabbein Yeruchim and Yerzerua, whether Shatness is Mukta. So, you went to the, it used to be, it does still exist. There was a store, Barney's New York. Is that still a thing? No. So it used to be a store that they would have for expensive suits, and once a year they would have a big sale, and you can get the suits for as cheap as $500 a suit or something like that. Like that was cheap because it was like a very, very expensive. So all the front people would come once a year for that week, and they would all buy Hugo Boss suits, and then they would go bring them home, and they get them checked for shotness, and they always had shotness. And then you spent another couple hundred dollars fixing the shotness in the suits, so everyone got such a mitzvah. So, but let's say you didn't yet get a check for shotness, but you know it has shotness. It says Hugo Boss on the inside. Hugo Boss suits always have shotness. The anti-Semites, they always put shotness in their suits. So is the suit itself going to be mukta? So this is machlokas 2 days in Shulchan Aruch. It's machlokas between the Rabbeinu Yeruchim and the Yerzerua. So Mishabura and Sivkat and Kufsamach and Kufsamach Alu says that the reason ta'aser is because you have no use for it in Shabbos. So it's mukta machlas gufo. L'chora, one could argue, what do you mean? It's ra'oi to use for a behema or for a nachri, meaning it's not that it's got no use, just no use for a Jew. A Jew is not allowed to wear it, but it's still a perfectly good suit for a nachri to wear it, to use as a to protect the animal's back from the saddle, hurting the animal. You put your Hugo Boss suit over the animal for that for that purpose, to protect the animal's back. So I noticed in the Dir Shem Shabura, they quote the Kalkelas Shabbos meaning, so long as there's a way to kasher the suit, meaning you could just bring it to the tailor and they could rip out the shotness from the collar and they'll fix it for you, you would never use it for a behemoth or for a nachri, because you would just pull out the shotness from the suit. Ukedin basar chai she'eino. It would be like basar chai, it would be like raw meat that you wouldn't give your big brisket that just cost that cost $100. You wouldn't go give it to a dog just because it's raw now and I can't eat it on Shabbos. No, you'll wait till after Shabbos, then you'll use it. So it would turn out that if the shotness cannot be removed, then even the first opinion, Shulchan Aruch, would agree that it's not muktzah unless the shotness is unrecognizable, because if it's unrecognizable, then it's a beged sha'avad boklayim. And the halach is, if you have an eved sha'avad boklayim, a beged sha'avad boklayim, you're not even allowed to sell it to a nachri, because the nachri might turn around and sell it to Yisrael, and Yisrael won't know that there's klayim in it. What about the second sheet in Shulchan Aruch permits it? It's because ultimately it's still an article of clothing, so it's considered a kli. So Mishabura paskins, you have 2 days here in Shulchan Aruch, how do you paskin? So it says Mishabura, that it's mukza. We pass on like the first day, yesh osrim l'talto bevi shatnis, period. Yesh osrim, that's what we pass on like. However, in Yalkut Yosef, he says, mechites, you're going to pass on like a yesh osrim. Shulchan Aruch has 2 days, yesh osrim and yesh matirin. Whenever you have a yesh and yesh in Shulchan Aruch, we know the rules of Maran, you always follow the second yesh. So why would you follow the first yesh over here? So therefore, he says, we pass on the kula, that a ben gedas shatnis is mutzer, says the Yalkut Yosef. What if all the strings from one of the corners of your talus ripped off on Shabbos? Would that make your talus muktzah now? Let's say you stood up and a nail caught like one of the corners, the strings on one of the corners, and the whole thing just rips right off. So now you have a begad shel bal kanfus where you don't have. Someone told me, by the way, that they just flew back from Israel on El Al. Was it someone here? Was it someone in my shul? Someone told me they just flew back on El Al and they don't have blankets anymore. They have like a thing with like a neck hole and arm holes, and it goes on both sides, and his mom's got dalet kanfus in it. So that sounds like a problem, no? Anyone experience this? No? You have to put on tzitzis, and so buy some tzitzis to Meir Sharon, get on the plane with a hole puncher, and
it's not
what?
Tonight.
Are you going tonight? Okay.
Is there room to make
bring a sweatshirt?
There's room to be made on tonight. Maybe there are much. Meaning it's not midar, it's not.
It's not, well, right. Oh, Talashu'ullah is pater. Talashu'ullah is pater. So you're saying it's Talashu'ullah, so it should be pater.
It's okay.
It's pajamas,
no? Yeah. It's
pajamas?
You're ready to go to sleep. It's the only reason to wear. Interesting. Okay, this is a good time. Okay. Gotta ask Rav Shachter. I remember I once asked Rav Shachter about the snuggie, you know, and that's really just a cover with arms in it. It's not. It doesn't have a head hole. It doesn't go around your back. It's just a cover with arms in it. And he said, "What is it?" So I had to schlep one into yeshiva. You know? And I showed it to him. He said, "Yeah, it looks like it should need tzitzis. It looks like a giant sweatshirt." Okay. Shachter
thought wearing an Israeli flag might be an issue.
Good what?
Like I asked him about it. It might be an issue. Like when you like wear an Israeli flag, I got a misiba.
Yeah.
So I asked him if that was an issue, and he said it might be.
Of tzitzis.
Yeah.
Okay. But all these cases, I mean, that's a good point. All these cases where you own it, El Al owns the blanket.
I feel like a lot of things, a lot of blankets you keep. I feel like I have 10 El Al blankets.
What?
Really? I don't think you're supposed to. Is it? Do you have bathrobes from hotels also?
Doesn't it come in
the
packaging?
What?
Doesn't it come in like a plastic
packaging?
I don't know.
Do they wash it?
Don't they wash it and put it back?
Should they wash it?
Yeah.
Not all of them.
Not for me.
Yeah, those little televisions from the same old time. Just a little screwdriver. Two screws you take. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so that's interesting. So one of your the strings come off of one of the corners, so does that make it mukza? So is that like shatnis l'char? It should be subject to the same thing. So Rav Vosser has a tshuva in Chelik Gimel Shevet Alevi Siman Lamed Aleph, where he says the talus isn't mukza based on the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Yud Dalid, who says that talus she'ula is part of mitzvahs. So since your apostle talus is totally kosher for somebody else to wear. Because it's not his, so it would only be a talashula. So then it's a kli, and therefore it's not mukta. Or non tovel dish is not mukta because they could also be used on Shabbos for non food items if you want to use it for something other than food. So that also would make it not mukta. So as long as there's some use for a Jew to have as a kli, luchara would not be a mukta problem. Shulchan Aruch Sif Mem Ches then tells us mutu l'taltel menifa b'Shabbos. La Vriya Chazvuvim. Yeah.
Would that extend not just to Muxa but Hosa if there's no error?
Well,
that's Shiloh of Buzman, the answer. Because since you could use it for someone else, so then it is a.
Yeah, but you might have a problem with the strings.
So, in a
meaning the other strings.
I know, but since someone else could still use it, it's still part of.
No, the strings have no function for anybody. Meaning when the strings are kosher, so then they're bottled to the talus and they're part of the talus. When they're not kosher, because you only have 3 of them, so then they have no function for anyone.
How do you know if it's How is that not the opposite of what we said to the small cloth? For the usher is, the usher wouldn't use it, and for it's also most of the ani, because it is the usher's house. So the palace, even though self and my friend.
It's ready for everybody to use as a baguette.
But it's not right for you as the owner.
Right, you just can't use it because you have a problem, whether you have a chiyuv tzitzis. But it's right for anybody to use as a baguette. It's not like it lacks chashivas. As a baguette, it's a perfectly chashkut baguette. Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of times people don't, it's halashul is one of those halachas that people don't seem to really get, like how it works. A lot of times people dafka make a bracha and halashul as opposed to. So Shulchan Aruch and Siv Melchess says that you're allowed to use a fly swatter on Shabbos. So Mishnah Brura in Kuf Samach Beis explains that a fly swatter is a klisha malachta le'isid, because you use it to kill flies, and therefore you're allowed to use it on Shabbos as long as you don't kill the flies. Meaning a fly swatter he's describing a fly swatter that's normally used to kill the flies, and you're not going to use it in that way. You're just going to use it to scare the flies or to chase them away. If it was actually used generally just to chase flies away, then it would be klisha malachta lehet, it wouldn't be klisha malachta le'iser. Skipping mem test, let's go to another. Harashba matil the taltel ha'itstralov b'shabbos v'chein sifrei ha'chachmos. So a lot of people misunderstand what this mechaber is talking about. There's machlokes rishonim, some shin zayin, sifrei zayin, whether a person is allowed to read non-Torah books of wisdom on Shabbos. The Rambam paskins that you're only allowed to learn Torah on Shabbos, and the Rashba paskins that you could study other types of chachma on Shabbos as well. And therefore, you're also allowed to use an astrolabe to identify the locations of the stars on Shabbos. There's also a chachma to know where all the stars are. Google it, you'll see. This is a lot of people misunderstand it because the Mishnah Brura in Kuf Samach Daled says that what's an astrolabe? It is it's used to see the stars. So people think, oh, it must be a telescope because that's what we use to see stars. We use a telescope. It's not at all what it is. It's used to show you the positioning of the stars based on how the sun. It's a kli that you hold in a certain way, and when you turn the dial and the sun comes through at a certain angle, you could then look at the other parts of the kli that will tell you where all the other mazalos are at that time. So it's not that you're looking at the stars, it's that you're using the positioning of the sun in order to figure out where everything is. So the Shulchan Aruch, based on that, paskins that according to the Rashba, you can carry an astrolabe in Sifrei Chachma on Shabbos, because you could use them on Shabbos, whereas according to the Rambam, it might be Muktzah. The Shmir Shabbos paskins that everyone would agree that you could use and adjust binoculars on Shabbos, because an astrolabe is not a telescope. Meaning, if it was a telescope, you're just looking. So that you're allowed to have glasses. You're allowed to look at things that are far away. That's what Shmir Shabbos writes. Now, what about watches? So the Shulchan Aruch and Siv Nun Aleph, Masha Mora Al Hashavu. So we have time to get into this. It's going to be a little bit of a discussion. We'll read the Mechaber quickly, and then tomorrow we'll pick up on that. Masha Mora Al Hashavu Shakarin. Irluzu, bein shu shalchol, whether it's sand, bein shu shal minacher, yesh l'stapik imutu l'taltalo. Such a fascinating way for the Mechaber to express himself in his book of absolute clear-cut halacha. You know, by the way, there's such a thing called a sand dial or a sand timer, and yesh l'stapik, whether it's imutu l'taltalo. And then the Rambam adds a kvar pasha the minaglass. So the minig is to be machmir. So an hourglass, that's what they call it, an hourglass, right? If you have an hourglass, so Mechaber is not sure. The Rambam says that the minig is to be machmir. So Mishburu explains that the sheet of the Mechaber is based on halacha, that you're not allowed to measure on Shabbos. So since it's questionable whether measuring time is called measuring, it's also questionable whether you're allowed to use a watch on Shabbos, because that's also measuring time. And the Ramah says that the minig is to be machmir about calculating time on Shabbos. So Mishnah Brura and Sefkan Kuf Samaches discusses pocket watches. And why is that going to be mutter? So Ben Hashem tomorrow, maybe we'll pick up with that, and then we'll move on, Ben Hashem, to Shin Tes, to bust the Dabra Asr. That is the